mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Get us your reaction this morning on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. We are asking you, where are you on our Seinfeld scale of concern after the Packers 27-2 loss to the Broncos? Joshy, give me those stages again, please. First, there is...
yada, yada, yada.
Followed by...
you look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
And then...
I'm freaking out! I am freaking out!
Right now, 80% of people are saying yada, yada, yada. I think there is a general sentiment, guys, that we are overreacting, that we are somehow saying this means more than it actually means. But if you don't want to take our word for it, guys, and this is, again, the battle that Huber is fighting this morning, Bill Huber over at SI, whose mentions are a hot dumpster fire, Matt LaFleur is concerned based on what he saw against the Broncos in the joint practices. This is a whole new world, Gabe, and maybe this is what is tough for fans to kind of wrap their brains around, right? As the preseason loses its significance, as teams are more and more, maybe it's, you know, the Shanahan tree especially, who just do not care about the preseason games, fans have to kind of reacclimate, rewire to this idea that you have to glean your information from somewhere. And it would appear as though Matt LaFleur and company value the joint practices. Cool, great. You're telling us what we should grade based on. And yet, all of the information out of that joint practice is that the Packers didn't look great. We played it for you earlier. If you missed it, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. Diana Rossini, who is Scoop City at The Athletic, and Chase Daniel, who is also Scoop City at The Atlantic, boots on the ground at that practice. Their takeaways were the Broncos defense and the Broncos quarterback. There was no mention of a Packers player or a Packers unit. Boom. Surprising them. Wow. Looked really great. Wow. Couldn't walk away from this joint practice without mentioning something Packers related. Does that concern you, Gabe?
Yeah, it definitely concerns me, but it concerns me more when the head coach says it as well, because he said in a one-on-one with Larry McCarron on Packers.com, they were not good enough, for, whether you're talking about the game, whether you're talking about the practice when they were in Denver.
You got that one on the sheet, right, Joshy?
Not good enough. He got humbled in practice and certainly got humbled again today in the game. And, you know, I just looking for a certain style of play that I don't think we really saw, not up to the standard. You know, I thought it got a little bit better in the second half, but certainly it still wasn't good enough.
Can Sean Clifford win you two games out of four?
Oof. Well, he'd be playing with the ones, not the twos, yes, like we saw last night. Because last night I was like, oh, Sean Clifford forgot how to play quarterback.
The answer is no.
Yeah, I think
if you could get one out of four, I think I'd be, if he could fall into one.
You need a two out of four.
Yeah, look, I understand what you're looking for. I'm telling you what the answer is. I think that the Packers have, whoever wins that backup battle can get you one out of four.
How surprised should we be that the guy who was bad in college is still bad in the pros? So I don't feel like we should be.
Sean Clifford?
Yes, he stunk.
So
he's
do you think
stunk.
That Pratt is ultimately going to move around him?
Sure, not but it's not like he's great.
Well, he's not the answer either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Clifford ends up not on the roster or tries to get on the practice squad, and then they invest in someone who gets cut from a camp.
But, I mean, it'd have to be somebody who got cut from a camp that would probably also... like, the options, I think, would be limited because you'd probably need somebody who is coming out of Rams camp or 49ers yes. camp or Vikings camp. Like, whoever comes from that tree, because you're going to need somebody who runs and knows that offense.
God, I'm almost to the point where we need another backup running back. I'd get rid of Dylan and Wilson. That was Wilson's time to shine, and
behind
he
the
was...
twos, though, you even mentioned the offensive line is not great. If he's running behind that line, I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass.
Dylan's safe. The Packers have, by their actions, they have told us that Dylan is safe.
Yeah, but look at last year when Aaron Jones misses a lot of games, a 3.2 average? That's not acceptable.
No.
I mean, who's better, Emmanuel Wilson or A.J. Dillon?
I like Wilson better, but I mean, it's personal preference.
They're both subpar guys.
I liked Wilson better last year when we saw him.
He had opportunities last night where he could make one move and stay on his feet and do something. It's just like he's got a little more wiggle, but
Just out of curiosity, like, let's go big picture here. Is there anything more frustrating than that when you're watching a football game? Like, I could make a case for, like, a dropped interception, right? That's frustrating mm-hmm. as well. But also, you need to have some green. You need to have some daylight in front of you in order to make that into something. I don't think there's anything more frustrating than watching from behind the quarterback position, kind of that eagle eye view, and seeing a hole,
yeah.
a nice big lane that those offensive linemen have opened up, right? And the running back just not make that one juke move, not make that one mm-hmm. step move, and then miss it. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, that's when people on their couches are like, I could have run through that hole. That is so frustrating.
Or tripped up. You
yeah,
know,
or yeah, stumble over
trips
their own
over a line or
don't
something
watch
like
any AJ Dillon film.
No.
Avoid it.
That was not intended to be AJ Dillon specific, and yet here we are.
And then you go to the O-line. How deep are they?
Not,
Royce Newman?
Not.
Can't
they're not
play?
Deep. They have six. They have six. Well, and right now it's 5.5. Because Zach Tom isn't playing right now.
Yep.
And you're hoping that he's going to be ready to go. But as we saw, and it's a different injury, I know, but as we saw with Elgton Jenkins last year, you know, I think Zach Tom's going to be playing through some injury. And I don't think he's going to be the Zach Tom we're used to seeing early in the season.
Yeah.
How can you, especially the way you have talked about how important the peck is when you are an offensive lineman?
Sure, of course. That's the concern is he wasn't able to bench and strengthen that. God, I still have nightmares about that going at the camp and be like, I didn't work out at all this offseason. I suck.
How could you possibly have that? That's like me having a nightmare. Oh, I didn't golf enough this summer. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't have enough beers over the weekend.
My brain. Can we rank receivers? How about that?
What are we basing it on?
I have no idea.
Whatever
I
you want
no
to
do. Idea.
Height? Sure. I feel like I might be able to give
alphabetically?
You a pretty accurate list based on height.
Who's the one?
Again, alphabetically, it would be.
I mean, did anything come out
D,
of that?
Yeah,
did anything Christian. Come out of that
oh,
joint
going
practice?
My last name, yeah. I was going by first name, oh. Christian Watson. So, yes, you're probably.
Was there any report out of the joint practice where, like, ooh. Dobbs had like three knife.
No. Dobbs got strapped by Patrick Surtain because when he faces elite level, he's not going to get open. Who knew?
Did he vomit?
Who knows the physical limited
LaFleur vomit because he doesn't have a number one? See? Kind of nice to have a number one at times.
There's a little smugness coming out over here.
Oh, really? That's
sniffing some smugness.
I probably have less of a feeling this year than I do last year.
And yet you're still yada, yada, yada
yeah.
about the team.
Because I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Have they earned that?
Based on what?
Last year, I guess.
So the last eight
just
games.
Based upon what we've seen in this training camp, have you noticed anyone elevate themselves?
Yeah.
Hold on.
No. We've been talking.
No, I'm talking receivers, and you could probably throw tight ends in there as well.
I mean, Romeo Doubs has to have
and Dontavian Wicks, right?
Yeah.
Don't we think Dontavian Wicks has taken a step based on?
We
what
have
we've
no
seen?
Idea.
Against beating a safety,
based on the reps he has reserved,
yeah.
I would say he has not elevated himself in the eyes of the coaches.
So what's so interesting to me, guys, is, and again, I think we pay attention a lot. I don't know if it's more than because this is a very rabid, passionate fan base, but we pay attention a lot to all of the information, all of the data points that are rolling out of 1265, out of the practice field, out of training camp, right? And we're still going, I don't know. This is a product, this is a byproduct of them de-emphasizing the preseason, isn't it? 10 years ago, Chu, we could watch preseason
sure.
games and we could get maybe not 100% perfectly accurate, Gabe, but we could get a decent evaluation of how a team was. Again, I know there are teams that have won every game in the preseason and stunk in the regular season. There are teams that have lost every game in the preseason and went on to go to the playoffs. I get it. It is not a perfect metric, but at least we have an idea of who's going to be a contributor, who the number one is, how this defense looks. Do they, you know, like, I don't know. We get nothing this year because of how the preseason has been devalued.
Because the joint practices in the 2024 NFL, that's why they're going to subtract another preseason game when they add the 18th game, which we know is going to be eventually coming. Schefter tells us that all the time. And there's only going to be two preseason games. And I guarantee more and more teams are going to have two joint practices in those two preseason games, just like the Packers are. And those are going to be the most important thing once we hit whenever that 18th game comes. The Packers are ahead of the curve on this one. So you, when the joint practices happen, if you're unable to do it, go up there this Thursday and be in attendance, then you have to rely on the beat writers, any national people who happen to show up for it, and you have to rely on what they told us. And what people have told us about the first joint practice is it stunk for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, how many players you hear having a great camp? Having a great camp. Why isn't it translating over to anything else?
I mean, Williams and Bullard, I would say defensively, are names that seem to come up quite a bit in terms of who's having a really good camp.
Who's getting the kicking job?
Still TBD.
I don't have warm fuzzies there.
Haven't they kind of pulled even there?
Kind of have.
They're going to go with Carlson.
Both around 80%.
Okay, but 81%. I want to bring up one other caveat to something that was just discussed. Because I believe Jordan Love was on the record talking about the joint practice against the Broncos, talking about how he felt like there was value there because it's an unscouted look. So basically, you have to just rely on your instincts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chewy, that doesn't mimic any of the games they're going to play this year. In every game, they're going to have an idea of what a defensive scheme looks like, what they like to run on this down, what they like to run on that down, what the how they disguise their coverages, how often they're disguising coverages. Like, I appreciate that there is some value to Jordan saying it's an unscouted look. We just kind of have to do what
sure.
But to me, that isn't even representative of how the season is going to go. You're never going to go into a game not knowing. Maybe the first game of the season against the Eagles, if they're doing things differently, or maybe in the case of the Packers where you get Jeff Hafley as the new defensive coordinator, if you're scouting against the Packers. But for the most part, don't you have an educated guess as to what the other team is going to do?
Sure, but they give you unscouted looks all the time. Yeah, they can cover disguise two, coverages.
Cover two is cover two, cover three sky is three sky is three sky. Four sky is four sky. I can go, yep, yeah, okay, they're in three sky. They're not seeing, hey, they invented this new cover purple. I've never seen that before. Cover purple. That's why I threw an interception.
What do you think cover purple would be?
I had a lot of Barneys. I think it'd be all defensive fat guys wearing purple.
Purple people eaters.
So you're playing the Vikings then?
Yes.
Or the Ravens.
You just throwing your defensive end out at cornerback?
I mean, you could sit here and just say, yeah, that's three lightning. Three sky.
To elucidate your point further, Matt LaFleur in his press conference was like, yeah, we had a perfect play for three sky and then we didn't do anything with it.
Yes.
Like we expect them to be in it. We called the play for it and nothing worked.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to identify the coverage.
Yeah.
It's then to be able
know
to
where
run
you
want to
go with the ball. Yeah.
Run the plays that expose that coverage.
I have real concern that after this week against the Ravens, we're going to feel the same way. Because John Harbaugh takes preseason and joint pack practices very seriously. He wants to win every single preseason game.
Mm-hmm. But this isn't
and
about.
And he did for like 10 years.
But this isn't really about fooling the other team that you're scrimmaging against. It's like individual matchups. Did you beat him or did he beat you? How many times did he beat you as opposed to you beating him? That's what they're looking at.
Well, and Chewy,
that's what they should be looking at. That's called evaluation.
That comes back to a problem I had going into the season. How much blue chip talent do the Packers have? Because you have a lot of blue chip talent, you're going to win a lot of those one-on-ones. Yeah. And if you don't, you're going to lose a lot of those one-on-ones. How much blue chip talent do they have?
I agree, you know.
How many guys are tilting the field in their favor? And again, that goes back to who's having a great camp.
And I've had bad. You have bad practices, right? You have bad shows. You come in and you go,
not me.
Wow, I sucked. You know, it's the same thing in football. It's like, I wasn't really into it today. But you can't have a lot of those days.
And again, I know it's different for you because you knew you had four, sometimes five preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
That those were the ones you were always going to get up for, or at least try to get up for. When you have the joint practices, like to me, coming out flat in that joint practice, like sure, if you want to put some of that on the floor, yeah. But it's also on the players, man. Like you know this is your time.
Yeah.
Like this is your way to try to get ready. And if you're coming out flat for that,
yeah.
How do I know? Now I'm going to question, are you going to come out flat in Sao Paulo when you're playing the Eagles in Brazil?
Sometimes I used it to experiment with things, you know. All right, I'm playing this linebacker here. Do I have to take it a step farther? Like, I always go back to Zach, Miami Dolphins.
Thomas?
Zach Thomas, right? He was good, so I would always have to oversell a route by baiting him to one side maybe a half step more as opposed to Chris Spielman in Detroit. So that's kind of what, when you're established as a player, you try to expand your repertoire. That's how I treated the preseason, you know, it's kind of to experiment and things like that. But
okay, between repertoire and elucidate, we have now hit our syllable quota.
We hit our quota for the week.
Elevating
for the week.
For the week.
Come on, bud.
Of the show. Lots of reaction rolling in this morning on this conversation. Again, we are not specifically talking about the loss last night in the preseason. We are talking about how the Packers performed in the joint practice against the Broncos and what that means, how that should dictate how the Packers handle this week. Let's get to some of that reaction. Steve weighing in saying, if we're just looking at the preseason numbers from this year, Jordan Love is the GOAT. LOL, LOL. We know he only had 3 snaps. Dave from Aaron reminding us that John Kuhn was on top of the fact that the Denver ones were playing the Packers twos. Again, trying to kind of put it into perspective when you look at the performance. Mike weighing in saying, let's relax a little. There is no other team that has a deep O-line group, is there? We are fine. We will be fine. I understand it's a thing to do, but we will be fine. Michael in the 608 weighing in saying,
Wait. How many times is he going to say fine? Are you convincing yourself or are you trying to convince us?
Well, let me ask you, what is the number where you go, okay, now you push too far? Is it 4?
3?
3.
Yeah.
Fine. And then you're like, I don't believe you anymore.
Exactly.
You just said 2.
2 fines, I'm a little suspicious. You hit that third number, I'm on you.
I think we've made it perfectly clear. We don't care about the game. We care about the joint practice. And the reviews from the joint practice, you want to find glowing in there? Keep looking.
As the resident toad here, I can find this away all I want. But to say I'm not more concerned after what took place this past weekend, like, you just have to be ignoring what happened. At some point, like, I was as sunny as the Packers as humanly possible. And now I'm a little concerned. What's going on here? Why is Matt LaFleur saying the effort stunk? We didn't try hard enough. We weren't putting out a good, like, that stuff. Effort is stuff you can manage.
Yeah.
Like, being bad at football, that's, some people just aren't as good as others.
Yeah.
But when you can't get the team up to play a damn game, like, those people are fighting for their NFL lives out there.
And I think you're making a great point, Joshy, about, look, if you want to stick your head in the sand, by all means. Like,
go for it.
We're going to tell you not to stick your head in the sand. Fine. We're just saying that the people who are close to it, people who watch the joint practice, Matt LaFleur, who is now on the record, is saying, like you said, Joshy, not good enough. Frustrated with the lack of production. Unhappy with the effort. Like, those are, right?
That's just coming from the head coach.
Yes, is the hope that they will change. Of course. Chase in the batting cage. He's got the tryout next week, right? If yesterday was the tryout, you're right. It's not going to go very well. But he can take what he did at the cage yesterday and implement it into the tryout and hopefully perform at his best.
But to Chewy's point, when you take that step back in the 10,000-foot view of, okay, who's had a good training camp? Who's had a good training camp?
Now, don't tell me a good training camp when the majority of the time they've been in helmets. Okay, I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, oh, he's in unbelievable shape. Well, where's the translation to the field?
Is this a transition period for the NFL as a whole, Chew?
I think so.
Because we used to, again, you guys used to be able to go,
yeah,
you know, bleep to the bleep, and guys were having to...
You can say balls to the
I didn't
balls.
Know. I don't know. See,
way to be. Hey, way to air. Way to air.
Okay.
You get points.
Josh, what are you doing, man? Like, she finally got to the edge last week. She crossed the line, and now she's finally gun-shy for the first time.
Tiptoeing. Yeah. For the first time ever.
She got a 28 on her ECTs like a month ago. I think she knows the difference between the F word and balls to the wall.
Yeah. Obviously, she doesn't. She's like, but this is good for you.
There's a grand champion between those two.
That was the other thing I said earlier, and I was like, I don't know if I could say that.
Fat bastard.
Yeah, I don't know if you could say it.
Can you say that?
Yes.
This is Bush League, let me tell you. Because some of the stuff that you have to be, like I said.
No. See, no. Okay, this is your own fault. You brought this on yourself.
Bad.
GD. You said GD.
No, not that. Last Friday when they weren't here.
You said something bad.
USS.
Constitution.
I don't even know, and I don't
pledge allegiance to the flag. Exactly.
No, but him, both you and Alex said that you can't say that. I'm like, put a Y on the end of it.
Oh, you can't say that? I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
weak.
That's good to know, though.
Because the word you said that you can say is much worse than
the B word.
Yeah, I think
we're in the vaguest of conversations here.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm coding.
That's okay.
I'm coding.
We are not going to cross the line today. My point is, it feels like the NFL is in a bit of a transition as coaches decide how much they're going to value the preseason, as coaches decide how are they evaluating their guys? Are they getting enough hard nose, helmet to helmet football in training camp to be able to evaluate their rosters, to be able to be confident in who they are going into the season? I don't know.
I think some teams do. And you go back to Dan Campbell. Was it 2 years ago when they were on Hard Knocks and he was going live? And I'm like, wow, that's refreshing to see a team going live during training camp. Here's the deal. If it's a push on Thursday, if it's a push, I'm fine.
Yeah, you start feeling better.
I'm fine. I chalk it up to a bad trip.
That was three fines, just so you know. I want to be clear.
I know.
And to just go back to the previous conversation, yeah. He said three was...
I'm on you.
But
I convincing yourself.
I got good discipline for a Monday.
You got the three, though.
Three, five.
I thought you said four, and it's...
No, she said four. I said after two, once you hit that third one. Two, I'm on to you. Third one, it's, I don't know if I believe you.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, we got to take a break on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776 if you want to get in on the conversation. I understand. Ron in the Key says, Jen dropped an F-bomb on the air, Ron, you listen every day. How did you miss that?
Well, he might have been listening on the radio and just completely missed it. Again, that's for our friends over on YouTube and streaming at Wisconsin On Demand.
You've heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We have certainly enjoyed having Mike and Michelle and their fantastic team help us out on most of our home projects. And you should consider PCI for your next remodeling project or home addition, or if you're thinking about building a new home. PCI's team is absolutely here for you. It is a family-owned company. I cannot say enough about the job they did as they renovated our basement, just gave us the extra space that our family needs as we continue to grow, and everybody wants to be doing all of the things at once. We also want to congratulate PCI for celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. You can learn more about PCI at professionalconstructioninc.com and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos, Burma? The last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Want to get to this very quickly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The college football season does, in fact, start this weekend. I am headed to Ireland tonight. We'll hop on a red eye out of Chicago, get to Ireland. And I was talking to the guys about some of the pieces that we have already lined up for college game day, including a piece I am doing on Cam McCormick. Cam McCormick, who was a longtime tight end at Oregon, who transferred to Miami last year. And I told Chewy that this will be his ninth season in college football.
How do you get nine? All right, so you get a red shirt, you get a gray shirt, you get COVID. So that brings you to seven?
Yeah, I don't know how you get to nine.
How do you get to nine?
So I will tell you. So Cam McCormick tore his ACL his senior year of high school. He was already committed to the Oregon Ducks. So he redshirted his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
He got injured 4 years and played one or two games in those injured seasons. So they gave him full redshirt, 1, 2, 3, 4. He got 4 redshirt years.
I didn't know that was legal.
Then he got the COVID year. If you don't play, you know, all you have to do is appeal your respective league. So,
well, it's an NCAA
thing. Pac-12, and then
the NCAA still has to approve that waiver, though.
It goes through the conferences. Yeah. So, you know, in order to get, you know,
is he any good?
ACC, he's a tight end. He's 6'5". But who knows if he's any good? He played every game last year for Miami. So I guess you could look at last year's film. And then he had the COVID year. So it is unprecedented. You will not see another college football player ever get 9 years of play time. Again, remember, he did not play. He didn't play his freshman year. He played his sophomore year. He didn't play his next year. He didn't play the next year. Like, it was...
So why didn't they medical him?
They might have been medical.
No, medical means, hey, nice knowing you. You suck. Oh. You can go to school. Have a nice day.
Yeah. No, they did not do that.
How many degrees does he have?
He has his bachelor's, and he has a master's. And what's after master's?
His doctorate?
Not quite yet. He's 26 years old, Chu. Can you imagine playing college football? Same position, tight end. Can you imagine playing
Chu, he had 26?
Yeah.
Boston College could have been good.
Yeah.
You could have dominated.
Would you want it? Well, Miami, okay. I get it. 9 years. I ain't going to North Dakota for 9 years.
At Oregon for 7.
Ooh.
He just transferred in 2023 out to Miami.
Maybe he likes rain. I don't know.
He's from Oregon.
Doesn't it rain all the time in Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's from there. So he wanted to go to Oregon, and he was there. And he had, it just, to be honest, it was just bad luck.
Yeah.
Like, he tore his ACL, and then he hurt his foot, and then he tore his Achilles. He actually told us guys that the easiest injury of all of them was the Achilles tear, because it was cut and dry. There were no complications. It was just, you know.
Here's what it is. Here's your recovery time.
Correct. But it does have a Wisconsin connection.
What?
The doctor that got him back out on the field.
Which was, time?
carry the one. I think the third time, honestly. Was a doctor in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Who's
Anderson?
The doctor? Yes.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
He's
probably
orthopedic.
One of the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Per foot.
Guru.
Yeah. Yeah.
Savant, if you will.
Yeah, they all have a specialist.
He came to Green Bay to get fixed. It was in 2020. He was going to walk away from football.
Yeah.
I should probably not tell the entire feature on Jen Game and Chewy. We should probably wait for week one when Miami plays Florida. But anyway, Chewy, I know you were stunned to learn that there is a football player who is on his 9th year of college football.
I mean, he's not going pro.
No.
You're saying no because no team's going to take that risk, right?
No team is going to want a 27-year-old rookie. Because he's 26 now. Next year he's going to be 27. You don't want a 27-year-old rookie.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Well, I mean, why? Like,
because they have age regression models. And unless you're like one of the best players in college football at 27 to ever exist.
And then especially
that doesn't
Achilles.
Apply to the
Achilles
NFL.
Is a 30 in your 30s injury. It's certainly not in the 20s. That's like when Harold, remember Harold came here?
Yeah.
And he tore his bicep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not something you do at 22 years old.
But he was notoriously injured in college, wasn't he? Wasn't that the issue with him? Was like he didn't just get unlucky once he got to the Packers. It was like... He had injuries in college, and they took a flyer on him.
So you want a 27-year-old who's been in college for 9 years because of all the injuries?
No, again, I was just curious what your reasoning, what your rationalization was for, sorry, buddy, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Entering the NFL at 28.
I'm sure The Rock's got a spot for him in the UFL.
Like, his prime's, like, almost behind him by the time he's in the NFL.
That's so mean.
His little physical prime, as we know it scientifically, like...
Yeah.
You've got 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Well, my first thought was, did he go to BYU?
Oh, because you do a mission or something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't.
No.
They have a couple older chaps. The underwear is very confusing to me. It'll always be.
Every time it BYU will,
I'm just saying.
Every time.
I roomed with Ty Detmer, and I never got the explanation I wanted.
Wait, now you know how I feel.
Did he
working
give
you with
you an explanation?
Not really.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he gave you one and you were like, no, that's not going to cut it. And he's like, well, that's all you're going to get.
Yeah. We can go to break.
You're finished with the exhaustive examination
then I
morphed of
the
BYU underwear?
Who was also Mormon.
Kay.
You're talking about helmets earlier.
Yeah.
Those aren't 38s. What?
What? You? What?
I don't know
when
what's happening.
When you spend
now I'm wishing we
a
had
good
gone
chunk of your life in a locker room where everyone's naked and doesn't care, you ask a lot of questions. Right?
I'm done asking questions.
Yeah.
Got all the answers I need.
Josh is like, I wish we would stop talking.
I've got a great story, but I can't tell it. And yes, it did involve Frank. No, I can't. I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I already ran it through people and they said no.
Wait, you actually do that?
I did on this one.
You actually vet your stories? I didn't think that was a thing.
This one, yes.
Let's see. Chris saying, wasn't Brandon Whedon drafted as a 27-year-old rookie QB?
Yeah, guess what happened to him?
One of the worst picks ever.
He was on the downslide.
Josh in Heartland says if the Packers drafted McCormick next year, he'd get cut after 1 year because he'd be too old.
Yeah. He would bring the age up.
He'd still be on the rookie deal, though. And Ron in the Key says he is the best 27-year-old college player, though. I mean, he can lay claim to that.
Very true.
You can catch that story week one of College Game Day. Have you tried Celsius energy drink yet? Speaking of the college football season, how do you think I get through it? How do you think I manage all of the responsibilities I have during college football season? It is my Celsius energy drink. Got a box of peach vibe hanging out in my refrigerator as we speak. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling him old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I was going to say, what a weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. Because on the diamond, it was pretty good. But off the diamond, there was that development that we got late in the week about Christian Yelich having season-ending back surgery. So how should I feel about this, Gabe? Should I be excited about the fact that the Brewers are still atop the NL Central, closest team, you know, chomping at their heels is the St. Louis Cardinals. They're 11 games back.
I was about to say, chomping at the heels is...
sarcasm.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And yet, we thought that Christian Yelich was going to be available, at least in a limited capacity, with the back injury for the remainder of the season. Obviously, it got so bad, he had no choice but to have the back surgery. Should I be optimistic about what this young core, this young group has been able to accomplish? Because Yelich, you know, has been limited, it feels like, for a while now. He's kind of just been gutting it out through the back injury. Or should I feel like, I don't think they can get it done without their guy?
They can get it done without their guy because Jackson Churio is becoming a superstar in front of our eyes. They need that guy who's the legitimate. You're a little bit scared of him in the middle part of that lineup. Christian Yelich was playing at that level when he was healthy, and Jackson Churio has been that guy since June 1st. Now, it would be great to have both of them in the lineup, certainly, but I mean, they're 20 games over 500 now. They just rattled off five in a row against two other teams that also have 70-plus wins, and there's not a lot of those in baseball. To split with the Dodgers, have the Guardians come in here, sweep them. Like, this team is for real, with or without Christian Yelich, because of a player like Jackson Churio, who's becoming a superstar.
Do you need rest at this junction in the season? Like, is there ever a point you're like, hey, let's pull the dogs off of trying to get the bye and rest our players up? Or do you say, hey, balls to the walls, everyone's playing every inning?
It's balls to the wall, but I mean, in baseball, you'll just like, you'll take a game off, right? Like, okay, you can sit this one out. We'll have somebody else going out there. Just having one day off your feet
really
just kind of can refresh you, rejuvenate you, and then you go out there. So at no point do I think that they're going to be sitting their guys, because that bye... incredibly important.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Why? What is it? The series before is a 3 or 5?
It's a 3. And then if you get the bye, then you're in a 5-game series.
Okay. And they have the best run differential right now in the National League, which, again, at times we have been able to kind of poo-poo that and be like, sure, but there are other teams that have a negative run differential and they're atop their division. No, like, that's something that this year you can actually hang your hat on, that you can actually say it matters, because the top team in each division is far and away the best run differential in their respective divisions. You got the Brewers, you got the Phillies, you got the Dodgers on the American League side. The only caveat there is the Guardians, who we just saw and the Brewers swept, have a better run differential than the Minnesota Twins, they're behind them. I meant the Yankees have a run differential of 116. They are behind the Baltimore Orioles in the East who have a run differential of 90. But everywhere else across the board, best run differential in their respective division has the best record in their respective division by a pretty decent margin. So this gives everybody confidence, right? If there's one thing that I'm a little bit like, is this sustainable? It feels a little smoke and mirrors, Gabe. It's the rotation. The rotation feels a little smoke and mirrors to me because they don't have that one dominant guy. Freddie Peralta was supposed to be it, and he's been fine, but I don't think he's been, you know, where you're going out there feeling confident that the ace of your staff is going to walk away with a W every time.
But he looked really good this weekend. He looked really good the last time around, and there's still plenty of time for him to continue to establish himself. He's been there before. You know he can do it with the strikeouts. It's kind of limiting the mistakes. It's limiting the big home runs that he gives up, and against the Guardians, I mean, he only threw 81 pitches in six innings. I was surprised that they decided to pull him after his six innings, but they wanted to lean on their bullpen. If that's the Freddie you get, that's going to change, because you still have 6 weeks before the postseason starts, and if that's the Freddie Peralta you get, over the next 6 weeks, you're going to feel really good about
this. I still don't get it. I don't get it, because this doesn't, the only way this happens in football where if you say, the best they're going to do is 7-10, the only way you can go 13-4 is by quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they had the best pitching staff probably in the league last year, right?
Had a really good one.
And then going into this, you're like, we got no chance. I mean, what was their under over? 78?
I think 78.5. I think they're coming up on that number.
I mean, they'll hit 90s.
Oh, yeah.
How did the pundits miss something like this? How?
Well, because so many things came together. Jackson Churio grew faster than you thought. Bryce Terang took a huge step forward. Christian Yelich, when he was in there, returned to MVP form for the first time since he was initially hurt back in 2019. Colin Ray, who knew who Colin Ray was at the beginning of the season? He pitched fantastic yesterday. The way that they've been able to just kind of cobble together a pitching staff, that's...
It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
And they have a top 10 offense in the league, like, across the board.
Amazing. I mean... Murphy and what's the GM's name again?
Matt Arnold.
They should both win GM of the year and manager of
the year. Executive, yeah. Is it executive or GM in baseball?
Executive.
Am I right?
You're not wrong. I mean, they've done a great job of putting this team together.
Unbelievable.
They've done a really good job of putting this team together. Again, yeah, people who are nervous about that, $82 million, a lot of money to give a guy. He hasn't played a single major league game.
Jackson Churio.
And here he is.
I wonder if they knew all along.
But he also, again, let's not forget, let's not just have, you know, revisionist history. He really struggled at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
100%. I understand that. But again, to your point,
he could be the guy in college football's kid.
The expectation.
Good point.
No.
Uncle.
No.
Uncle.
He's really young.
27 to 20. What was that 7-year-old getting himself into back then? No, but the point is like, to your point, they thought it would take longer for him to reach this level. They thought it may take the whole season, actually, right? That they knew that the potential was there, but they did not expect for it to be. And there is a great article, I believe Adam McAlvey put it on MLB.com, talking about the group of guys with the Brewers who rallied around him, who took Jackson Churio under their respective wings and told him how to navigate the big leagues, how to handle the days that are tough, how to handle the at-bats that are tough. And he credits them with really a big reason why he has been able to be as productive as he has been recently.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a guy who at 20 years old could be one of the handful of guys who could go 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases at the age of 20.
Is Council overrated? Okay, Joshy has spoken.
I don't think I have anything to add to the ding. But, I mean...
It's overrated.
You need to have... I think that the reason why this is working for the Brewers is because they do have such a young team. And Pat Murphy... With Pat Murphy, I wonder how well he would work with a super veteran team, like the Dodgers or the Cubs, one of those teams. Dude had a ton of success in college, whether it was Arizona State, whether it was Notre Dame. So he can really connect with younger players.
Yeah.
Just you know, the same way, you know, in the NFL, we talk about college coaches who can't necessarily connect with once they make it to the NFL. So having that group of young guys and getting them to buy in, knowing how to get them to buy in, I think has been huge for the Brewers. I think Murphy has been the right guy for a young team.
I wanted to take a beat, take a breath, take a moment before I answered that thing about Craig Counsell. is he overrated? I think it's more likely, Chu, that Pat Murphy was grossly underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Council was probably properly rated because I don't think the Brewers have the success they had under him without his tutelage, without his leadership, without his baseball acumen. That being said, I think we expected there to be a significant drop-off when Pat Murphy took over because we just weren't as familiar with his work, even though Gabe says we saw him do it, even though Craig Council, mm-hmm. the endorsement of him couldn't have been higher. He brings him over, his former coach, manager, to be on his staff with the Brewers. But I think that we underrated Pat Murphy so greatly that we are now shocked that he is seemingly outperforming, outpacing Craig Council. So I think that That's more likely what is happening right now.
The first thing they do in the offseason is tear up his deal and give him a new one, right?
Probably, I don't know.
Probably not.
Organizations why? Like oh, because. The Brewers.
Why would you?
I also
what's
thought,
the
how many
anti-cha-ching? We have the cha-ching. We have the cha-ching drop. What is the opposite of the cha-ching drop?
It's hard for me to look at the Cubs at 61 and 64 and Craig Council's salary and not say he's underperforming greatly. And that there's a high level of disappointment there in Chicago. You gave that guy all that money, record-setting money, and you can't even get a 500 baseball team? I mean, what the hell? What's going on here?
I agree.
Also, I think we're talking too micro. Like, how many playoff series should we expect out of the Brewers to win? This
NLCS?
This isn't we're a scrappy team fighting for a spot. This is... We're one of the best teams in baseball, period. End of story.
Yeah, right now, second in the league, right? Yeah. Second in the National League. Okay, let's do this. Let's, for funsies, put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. How many playoff series do you expect the Brewers to win? All of them? You expect them to win
be
all
nice.
Of the series? Do you expect them to win? It sounds like, Joshy, you are well past one. Like,
yes.
Again, and we had said this about the Brewers last year. And again, different roster for sure. But we expected, Gabe, for them to do more than just make the playoffs.
Yeah, which is why getting the bye would be huge.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because a three-game baseball series, God knows what can happen in that.
We've seen it go the wrong way too many times.
Too many times. Get past that. Look, five isn't great either. Five is still kind of dicey. But if you can get to the five versus the three, I think that's huge. Getting the bye would be big. I'm kind of giving up almost on, even though they just beat the Dodgers twice, the Dodgers are getting healthy, the Dodgers are about to flex their muscle. I think catching the Philadelphia Phillies is the way the Brewers got to go.
Okay, but here's the thing. When you look at this staff and you look at this rotation, Freddie is the ace of this staff.
Mm-hmm.
Is he beating any of the other aces? Because that's how it'll shake up in the postseason, right? It'll be ones versus ones, twos versus twos, threes versus threes, and maybe it starts over for some of these staffs.
Well, I mean, maybe not if you get the bye. Somebody's throwing their ace game one, game two. They're not going to be able to realign. You know, you're going to get some favorable matchups. That's, again, another reason why getting the bye is so big, because you have that opportunity in that first, you know, game you're going to be playing in the playoffs. Hey, our number one is going. That might not be a luxury for whoever you're playing coming out of the wild card round.
So just remind me, there are four rounds of the playoffs in Major League Baseball. You got
correct.
The wild card,
mm-hmm.
the division round, the championship round, and then you got the World Series.
Correct.
And the Brewers could skip.
Mm-hmm.
The wild card round?
If they catch the Phillies or Dodgers, which right now they are a half game behind the Phillies and a full game behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I believe both those teams also have the tiebreaker.
You know what we
so
should
you
do
have
during
to
the break?
Catch and surpass.
Correct. You know what we should do during the break is take a look at the Brewers' schedule going forward and see how many favorable matchups we think that, how many favorable series we think they will have down the stretch here as we wrap up the final month-ish of the baseball season. 800-990-3776. How many series do you expect the Brewers to win in the postseason this year? We're not even saying, ooh, are they going to make the postseason? I hope they're going to make the postseason. Season. Will they be a postseason team? No. We expect, because of the way they have handled the entire season, that they will be in the postseason. They will be in the playoff picture. It's just now a matter of how deep can they go. 800-990-3776. Let us know.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's
like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Act and Trans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. I was driving around yesterday, saw an AccuTrans bus headed the other way. From corporate travel and weddings to group events, AccuTrans caters to every occasion. And guys, guess who picks me up from O'Hare Airport when I got to get back to Milwaukee when travel arrangements mean I can only land in Chicago like this past week? It's the AccuTrans Group. Go to their website, AccuTransGroup.com, for reliable and safe transportation, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.